I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to episode 4 of Help, I Suck at Dating. I'm Dean Ungler, and I have two very special guests with me in studio today. You know her from Marriage Bootcamp Reality Stars, Dr. V.
Hi. Hello.
How are you? Thank you for joining us.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're also joined by one of my great friends and my roommate. If you follow me on Instagram, you probably have seen his face pop up a few times. Jackson.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Thanks for coming, buddy.
I'm so excited.
This is great.
Moral support.
Yeah,
moral
support.
So great. This
I feel
so
much more
great.
Comfortable having Jackson here.
Me too.
I don't know about that, though. I don't know if I feel more comfortable.
Oh, okay.
So, Dr. V, do you mind introducing yourself a little bit, giving us a little bit of backstory on who you are?
Yeah, hi. Again, I'm Dr. V. My full name is Dr. Venus Nicolino, and Venus is a little strange of a name. I think my mother thought that I would be a stripper, but when I got the doctor gig, she was like, okay, this is cool, and I just keep telling her there's still time.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know. You never know where one's career can go. And I started on Bravo on a show called LA Shrinks, which was so much fun, and I became their resident shrink for a few years. And then I went on to do other things, and I found myself on Marriage Bootcamp Reality Stars, which is great, and we're celebrating our 11th season.
Nice.
I've done six of those seasons, okay. And we have a spinoff, Family Bootcamp, which is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So it's been a wild ride. It's been fun.
So can you tell me a little bit about Marriage Bootcamp? I'm not familiar with the show, so how does it work?
Well, it's Marriage Bootcamp Reality Stars. Mm-hmm. So we have couples come on the show, and they live in a house together for 14 days. Mm-hmm. And they decide at the end of the show whether they want to be together or not. Okay. So our goal, you know, we root for the couples, but it's really about choice and your ability to make a choice. Is this the person for you? Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to fix that relationship. You know, that's not where our stakes are. Our stakes are about, is this the person you should be with? And we run the couples through a series of exercises where they're able to make choice. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, you know, people stop you in the street. You know, I've learned so much from that show.
Nice.
People always tell me, you know, there's a great takeaway. And I actually do think it's one of the few shows on television and in reality where you do walk away with communication skills. You do walk away with a takeaway.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, you know?
So do all these couples that you deal with, every one of them is married? Or are there boyfriend,
no,
girlfriend
they
couples?
No, they could be on the verge of divorce. They don't have to be married. They could be girlfriend, boyfriend. They just have to be in a relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from your experience, I figure you probably have seen it all. Do you kind of see reality stars sucking more at dating than like a normal person?
You know, no. That answer is no. I think unconventional people need unconventional methods.
Okay.
And it's really the method in which we choose to help unconventional people.
Okay.
That matters. But in essence, the problems are all very similar. And I think that's why people love the show, because while it's wild and crazy, people are like, yeah, I can see myself in that person.
Yeah, they can see problems they can identify with.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. So, Dr. V, what is your take? I think we discussed this at the top a little bit.
Yeah, you want to talk about sexting, right?
Yeah, I know you're itching to talk about sexting.
No, you're itching to talk about sexting, which I find quite fascinating because you don't like to sex?
I don't.
Jackson, I need confirmation.
Yeah, Jax, what do you think?
You know, I cannot confirm.
I've never sexted
deny.
Jackson.
So you've
he
never
has not sexted
received
me.
A sex
well,
from Dean.
I mean, maybe a little risque photo here and there, but that's just
like a, hey, buddy, miss you.
All right.
Hey,
okay.
It's the morning. What are you doing?
So that doesn't qualify as a sex for you.
No.
Okay. But if a woman sent, hey, buddy, miss you.
I think it all depends on the circumstance, right? Like if you're in a long distance relationship, long term relationship, okay. I could see it being
Dean,
okay.
Dean, this is so murky. I need what a sext really is.
Like, I don't think I've ever sent a pic.
Okay.
Can I say that?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Like, what are the rules here? What are the rules?
Keep it clean.
I've never sent a D pic before.
You've never sent a Dean pic.
Right,
we get
okay,
it.
Yeah,
okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
And I've never like asked.
Do you want to?
Not really.
Okay. Okay.
I just don't see what the point of it is.
Okay. Okay.
I don't, like, I've never asked a girl to send me a picture.
Okay. But that's picture. That's pictures. That's, I mean, what?
Oh, that's what I'm, that's what I'm thinking of is pictures. I guess sexting is different.
Oh, so you're thinking of like photos, like nude photos.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I guess, so what would sexting be then? Just like talking dirty to each other? Which I still don't do that.
So you still don't do that?
No, I just, I don't know. I don't think that.
What are you scared of? What scares you about that?
I don't know if
And by the way, I'm not saying you should be doing that. I'm just asking questions because that's what I'm here to do.
I don't know if I'm scared. I just don't think that I'm a very outwardly sexual person.
But inwardly, you're a wild animal?
Well,
I'm
no.
Confused.
I almost think that like we were brought up thinking that type of stuff is taboo.
Where did you grow up?
In Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know. I just think that discussing that is I don't know, private matter. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Are you a sexual person in general or no? Like, is sexting an extension of how you feel about sex? Or is it something different that you have different views on?
Well, what do you think?
I'm asking you. I'm asking the question. Don't deflect.
I don't see what the end game of sexting is. Like, is it supposed to make me aroused? Is it supposed to just convey interest to the person that I'm sexting it to and let them know that I'm thinking about them like that?
I think your roommate, Jackson, needs to come in on this. I mean, you, Jackson, you enjoy sexting. What do you get from it?
So I have sexted before.
Okay, great.
But also, I travel a lot for work, and so if I were to be in a long-distance relationship,
right,
it is one way that my partner and I have found to stay connected and keep the heat and the passion going.
So what does a typical sex look like to you?
I mean...
Can you pull up your phone?
I want info. What does a typical sex look like?
What does a typical sex
look like? Don't be shy.
Like?
I mean, this is what we're here to do.
I mean,
it's PG.
Yeah.
PG-13.
Yeah, PG-13.
Okay.
You know, it's, hey, I'm in bed, I'm thinking about you. I definitely wish you were here right now.
So that's not sexting.
And then I think that is. And then it, you know, maybe escalates from there.
Let me just help you.
Yeah.
So maybe it's something like, I can't wait to taste you. I want to, I miss
you. See, that's
smell.
Sexting.
Yeah.
You know, I love to feel you on my body.
That is, I've said all of
those
things.
I want you to eat my blah, blah, blah. Can you stroke the pearl? You know, okay. So the two of you are young. That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm picking up here. You're young. You're maybe shy about talking about sex.
Yeah. So I think kind of to Dean's point, we were raised in this idea that you don't really talk about sex as I guess openly and outwardly as maybe some other people do. And so for me, it's always been something I've been a little bit more shy about.
Right.
And also as a guy, I sometimes feel, how do I, you know, broach this sexual topic without coming across too forward and being respectful.
And you're bringing up such a good point, Jackson, because in our culture and in our society, we don't have a healthy narrative around sex. We just don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's either the Madonna or the whore, or he's a stud, or who's effing this person and who's effing that person. And there's really no real healthy narrative around what it means for two people to love each other or not and be in a healthy sexual relationship. So I think the two of you, it's to be sitting in the middle of this is interesting because you're struggling with that. And I think in an American society, we struggle with that a little bit more because we're faux Puritans, really. Like, we pretend to be this puritanical society. Meanwhile, you know, Dean is a wild animal behind closed doors.
I have seen him in a lion onesie, and it is nice.
Roar!
So anyway, to get back, I didn't mean to derail into philosophical
and
academic. So Jackson, you partake in a healthy sexual.
So you think it's partly like our sexual repression that we have as a society? Like, what would another culture be that has it maybe more healthy? Do you think, like, Europe?
I do. You know, Europeans are a little bit more open about sex. Depending on where you are, there's, you know, in many ways, you know, Italy has less sexism than the United States. So I think that our culture doesn't promote to have healthy conversations. Uh-huh. And I think, Dean, some of your issues around sexting mm-hmm. might be you're just part of a culture.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you're pro-sexting.
You know,
pro-expression, at least.
I am. I'm pro-expression. Uh-huh. I think that sexting is just another way to be creative mm-hmm. and fun with someone that you love and who loves you back. And I do think, just like anything else, it can cause problems. Mm-hmm. It can get in the way of actual true intimacy because, you know, if you have the skill of sexting, but maybe in person you're just a little too shy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here you built yourself up to be this, you know, this amazing, you know, I'm trying to keep this G-rated, PG-rated. But,
that's
you know,
why I believe in under-promising and over-delivering. Mm.
Do you feel you do that, Dean? Do you feel you under-promise and over-deliver?
I don't know about the over-delivery part.
Okay, so you don't even know if you're over-delivering.
No.
I mean, do you feel like, with the D picks, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something about, you know, having your body be yours mm-hmm. and just yours. So I understand that. But if we're moving into words, which you are, you're saying that you have some other issues around that. And so I guess the question is, do you want to remain that way? Do you like yourself for the way that you are? Or do you?
I think that if sexting were like a way to improve a relationship, like I think that anything is worth exploring, right? Mm-hmm. So if by adopting sexting as a habit it could improve my love life, then I think that it's something worth considering.
I mean, have you ever considered that maybe it's a skill that you just don't have? That I think that sexting and putting how you feel into words mm-hmm. is a skill. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's just not one that you have.
So we did the love languages test last week, and my number one love language is physical touch. And mm-hmm. so maybe I like to express myself more physically than I do verbally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, all right, Dr. V, I'm gonna step aside and...
Oh, we're moving on?
Talk about one of our fantastic sponsors, FabFitFun. I don't know if you... Have you
Woo!
Seen a FabFitFun box?
No, but it sounds
Dr. V.
fun, fab, and fit.
They're amazing.
Mean,
all of the
wow.
above. All of the above. So what FabFitFun is, it is fab, it is fit, and it is fun. But it's a seasonally subscription box. They send it to you once every 3 months. It comes with things like Summer and Rose black fold-over clutch, a Sterling Forever Wishbone necklace, a Spun Gel body wash infused buffer in French. And I actually got this box and I brought it home, and Jackson's been using that Spun Gel body wash infused buffer.
Yeah. Jackson.
And his skin has been
silky smooth. Glowing.
It's honestly, Jesus. It has been glowing lately.
Thank you.
what else do you
it
get in that box?
It does look good. I mean,
it looks good.
I appreciate that.
There's some Himalayan pink salt. My other roommate is big at cooking and he cooks steak all the time. I think mm-hmm. he's been using that on his steaks lately and it's fantastic. So what you can
Jeez,
do.
Jeez, you got some great roommates.
Thank you. Oh, they're the best. I mean, they never share any of the food with me, but. So if you want to experience this FabFitFun box for yourself.
I do.
All you have to do is go to FabFitFun.com and use my code DEAN at checkout and you get $10 off the editor's box. And the box is $49.99, but with my code DEAN, you can get it for $39.99, and each box is a guaranteed value of at least $200. So you're
wow.
making out like a bandit.
Wow.
Dr. V, you're going to love it. I can promise you that much.
I'm going to love this Yes!
Okay, so now we're going to go ahead and jump to the phones and take some user calls. I just tweeted out, what is your stance on sexting? Do you condone it or do you dislike it? And let's take some phone calls. So who do I have on the phone here? All right, Paige, what do you think about sexting? Tell us about it.
I would say that if you're in a long-distance relationship, then it's necessary if uh-huh. you're wanting to do that.
Okay. So have you ever sent a sext before?
Probably in, like, senior year, high school, around that age.
Okay. So you've kind of grown out of it?
Yeah, because I had a relationship that was, like, 6 hours away.
Oh, so that's so I have Dr. V from Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars in
Hi,
here.
Hi, Paige. So
Hi,
sexting kept your
you?
Relationship alive and, you know, sort of
yeah.
like what Jackson was expressing earlier.
Yeah, it helps
yeah,
with the long
like,
distance.
We've gone like uh-huh. 2 weeks without seeing each other, and so uh-huh. it keeps it alive, I'd say.
So are you in a relationship now?
Yes.
And do you sex now?
No, we actually live in the same place now, but before we were separate, so yes.
So you wouldn't like sex from the living room to the bedroom? No.
Hey, what about like when you're at work or something?
Like at work
probably
or anything?
Not.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How long have you guys been together?
A year and a half.
Give us the story.
Oh, well, we just met and he sent me this little GIF that said, or GIF, whatever you call it, and it said, "I like your face," and it just kind of went from there.
Oh,
that's pretty sweet.
Chivalry, man. It's still around.
I like your face. And what did you say back? What did you say back?
Oh, nothing really. I just said okay.
Nothing.
And we kind of texted back and forth for like 2 weeks, and then we met, and we started dating the day we met.
It's amazing.
Okay, so tell us the sext, yeah, these people. I'm like in a studio with people who won't tell me their sext. What was the sext?
I don't really know. I can't really think of what we said specifically.
Well, I mean, was it like...
I feel like the basic one is like, what are you wearing?
You up?
Do you find that would be a typical male question? What are you wearing?
Yes.
And what did you tell him?
A black jumpsuit.
Tell us what you're usually like. What did you say? I hope you said nothing. I'm wearing nothing.
Oh, yeah. I said like nothing under my clothes.
Hey-o. All right, Paige. Wow. Paige, thank you for calling in. We're gonna jump to the next caller.
I love it.
Thank you.
All right, have a good day, and good luck with your relationship.
Paige Flash Commando.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye, Paige.
All right, who do we have on the phone now?
Hi, my name is Annalisa.
Annalisa.
Great name.
Yes.
So, Annalisa, you're on the phone with Dr. V from Marriage Bootcamp Reality Stars, and
Hi,
my roommate
Annalisa.
Jackson.
Hello.
Hi.
What do you think about sexting?
Okay, I called in because I think it's disgusting.
Ooh, all right.
Ooh, okay.
Why is it so disgusting? What do you think is disgusting about it?
I just don't think that it's right, honestly. Like, maybe if you're in the if you're in a relationship with a person for like maybe a year, like it can slide.
Okay.
But anything less than that, you know, like if you just met them, I don't know.
If you just meet someone, it's a little creepy, Annalisa. Like, I'm with you. We're totally with you. Are you in a relationship now?
No.
So you're not in a relationship now. So if you were to get, let's just say you met someone and are you heterosexual? Man, woman?
No, I'm straight.
You're straight. Okay. So... You meet this man, he sends you, you exchange phone numbers, he sends you a text. That's sexy in nature. Let's say it's not sexting, but sexy in nature. Like, I love the way you look. Your hips are so sexy. You're such a beautiful woman. Is that disgusting?
No, see, that's different. That's just flirting.
Okay, so where's your line? Where's your boundary? This is what I want to know. Where's your boundary?
Okay. If they were to send me, like, a pic without asking, I'd probably
it's
cut
so
them off.
It's so true.
Like,
Annalisa, you can't say that word. You're on.
She can say whatever she wants. You're, okay, a pic. So someone sends you an unsolicited pic.
Of his genitals.
And you're like, dude, no. I get you. Okay, I got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Annalisa, well, thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You're the best. Bye.
Best of luck with your sexting endeavors.
Oh, my God.
No pics.
Okay, let's do this. So, again, we're joined by Dr. V, who you probably know
What's
her
up?
From Marriage Bootcamp Reality Stars on WeTV. And what she does is help reality stars solve their relationship problems on television. So,
I think that's what I do.
Dr. V, what mistakes do you typically see these couples making?
The typical mistakes that most couples make, problems in communication. I think one that I've been stuck on lately is, you know, people... their need to be right outweighs the empathy for their partner.
Okay. Mm.
And I see that more and more. And I don't know if that's from the social climate that we're living in. Everyone has a stance and they want to be right. And, you know, we don't operate in vacuums. So I really do believe that some of what we're all feeling as a nation enters into how we feel as a people and enters into our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I
how do you advise on that?
Well, I think once you acknowledge, you can't fix what you don't acknowledge. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times couples don't even realize they're doing that to one another.
Okay.
And once you sort of point it out, they have a third party, sort of just point that out. They're like, oh yeah, I do that. So I think some of the hardest things is dealing with a hard ass, like a hard head.
Right. I'm sure you get a lot of those too.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like all the time. Yeah. All the time. And so kind of pounding through that, you know, I take one or both approaches. Either I feel like I have to get to that person by being really, really soft, and really just pouring empathy and mm-hmm. love all over it. You know, or I have to be a hard ass and a badass, and I have to say things that maybe are true that they don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, people aren't strolling through the self-help section because they want to hear shitty things about themselves. Mm-hmm. They're walking in those sections because they want to hear good things about themselves.
Sure. Yeah.
And so the question really is, what do you do with information that you don't like about yourself?
Right.
And I think as a culture, we need to address that, and as well as, you know, self-empowerment, as well as bettering ourselves as individuals. What do you do with information you don't like about yourself?
Dr. V, do you feel like reality stars, because they're constantly being bombarded by mm-hmm. All of these outside voices telling them, mm-hmm. you know, I don't like you for this, I don't like you mm-hmm. for that. Do you mm-hmm. feel like reality stars sometimes have mm-hmm. a stronger wall up, mm-hmm. maybe?
You know, you're bringing up such a great question, Jackson, and I'll tell you what I have seen is people, reality stars who've grown up as reality stars, sometimes their sense of self is a little soft. And they come in, look, every couple comes into the house as a couple, but I really do see their individual journey. And a lot of times people who have been in the public eye forever, their sense of self is a little soft. And I feel that it's my job to help strengthen that sense of self, that no one can tell you who you are, who to love, how to act, how to be, that you have a boundary between you and that social atmosphere, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it's so interesting being on the outside and mm-hmm. looking in, because, you know, it seems like a lot of people feel like they have the ability to write whatever they want on Dean's wall, because maybe he doesn't seem like a real person to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yet he is a real person,
a real person.
He sees those things.
And I have real feelings.
I feel like that's got to be hard.
And it's true. And look, like, you know, a lot of times it's like, quit being the bullying online hole that you don't have the guts to be in your real life. And that's what I find a lot on social media, mm-hmm. you know, people looking to lash out and they're looking to be angry. And it's like, look, you woke up angry. You know what I mean? You woke up that way. Mm-hmm. Dean didn't do that. Jackson didn't do that. I didn't do that. You woke up like that. So much of what we see online is a projection of just how people feel about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
back to the show then, and a little bit more about you. So you basically sit down with like these kind of like group therapy sessions, it sounds like, right?
You know, they're exercises mm-hmm. That we and drills mm-hmm. that we run the couples through.
Okay.
Each couple does it. And a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of resistance to doing these drills because they're designed to bring up a specific emotion mm-hmm. or they're designed to bring up conflict. So they can get torturous mm-hmm. for some of the couples. And I'll tell you, The reality stars who come in, the couples who come in, they are always shocked.
So do you advocate couples therapy for pretty much any relationship?
No, I don't. You know, I think that we've become a society where, you know, we believe that therapy is good for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it actually isn't good for everyone. And I'll give you an example. Particularly people who have undergone trauma.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, you know, therapists and counselors and life coaches, they want to talk about that trauma. Well, all you're really doing is re-traumatizing that mm-hmm. person. So for certain people, observe yourself, isn't the thing to do. You know, I also think the way we digest mental health needs to change. It's, you know, currently it just feels like it's for privileged people.
What's that, therapy?
But it's for, and it isn't. And what's interesting about that is that therapy began for privileged people by Freud, for bored people who had nothing to do to come on the couch and sit and talk about their lives. So it was designed for privileged people.
Right.
And so how we view mental health, how we approach mental health, and our own ideas about mental health needs to really encapsulate the disempowered, the disenfranchised. You know, we have to have a community that is based on helping other people, you know, helping other people feel supported and loved. So, I mean, therapy is an act of isolation. You know, you're isolating yourself.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but I feel that our ideas about mental health needs to be community based and community oriented. Yeah.
I believe that. So earlier you mentioned that on the TV show, you put these couples through drills.
Yeah.
If you were to give me a drill, what would that be?
I would put tape over your mouth for the entire 14 days. No.
Like, is there a
Yeah, well,
what can Dean do at home?
Ooh, what can Dean do at home? Let
what
me think about
Jackson
that.
What can Jackson and I do so we can both improve our dating?
Yeah.
That's a really good thing to think about. You know, so much of what we do is in the moment, to catch an in-the-moment process. So for example, we create through the art department a very, very real death scene where you get to see your partner laying in a casket or in a car crash on an ambulance stretcher. And we create that. And it's real. It looks real. Like, every time I do it, I'm like, I go home, I hug my husband. I'm like, my God, this is awful. So, and we create that. And so what ends up happening is the other half of the couples who we decide are not doing that come out into this emergency situation and they see their partner dead. And they have to read the last thing they wrote about them, which is usually awful.
Wow.
What a experiential process of learning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's intense. So you and Jackson are going to go home and Dean, you're going to get into a coffin and Jackson, you're going to say mean things.
Okay. On it.
Improve your relationship.
Do you think that there are things that friends can do to have them improve their dating experiences? Like, say, is there something like Jackson can do to help me out as a friend to be better at dating?
Okay, so here's the thing, Dean. I've sat with you just for a few minutes now, and I'm wondering if you're one of those people that has difficulty taking in negative feedback. Wondering if you're one of those people.
I receive a lot of negative feedback.
Because
he does.
On all things.
But that doesn't mean you take it in.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm wondering, that doesn't mean you're like, oh, well, I received that feedback from someone I trust.
I'm incredibly stubborn, and I think that might be part of it.
Yes, that's what I'm picking up.
Yeah.
But something with the glitter on the face. Stubborn with fairy-esque.
For the record, yes, I do have a flash tat on my face. And thank you for pointing that out, Dr. V. Now everyone knows.
So I think, do you feel that you would be open to Jackson giving you feedback?
I mean, I think that
because, like, the title of your show is, like, I suck at dating.
Huh.
But do you just suck at being human? You know what I mean?
I think we all kind of do, though.
Like, but in your process, like, what is it about you as a human as why you suck at dating so much? Are you trying to impress the person? Do you feel like maybe you don't have good enough boundaries? Do you feel like you play too many games? Like, what is it, Dean? What is it? I'm not leaving here until I get answers.
I think I've put up a lot of walls in relationships.
So you have problems being vulnerable.
I think that I have moments of vulnerability, but I think overarching, yes, I probably have difficulty opening up.
So you have difficulty opening up to someone else. So you build up all these walls and if you can't be vulnerable, you can't trust. And if you can't trust, you can't love.
Right.
So work on that for next week.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Okay.
You're gonna come back. We'll see how you're doing.
We'd love to call you.
Oh yeah, give me a call. Absolutely.
See how the homework went.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We'll tell you about the reenacting.
But Dean, in all seriousness, you said something very, very vulnerable. As you said, I have trouble being vulnerable, mm-hmm. and that is the first step.
In essence, of, vulnerable.
It's a vulnerable thing to do. So I would love for you to think about, you have to write it down, but think about all the things that you're afraid of.
Okay.
And it doesn't even have to be about a relationship. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It doesn't even have to be about that. Just things that scare you, and maybe things that scare you about you. Uh-huh. Look, I'm 45 and I still have lists of things I'm afraid of. You know what I mean?
In relationships?
In relationships with myself, because we're always growing, we're always changing. And if you're not, you're the only thing in the universe that doesn't.
Yeah.
Because as we all sit here now, everything is changing around us. Mm-hmm. So to constantly be on top of who you are and what you believe and how you think, you know, that should be fun, right? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't feel like work.
Do you believe in astrology? Like zodiac signs?
Oh, geez.
I don't think you do.
I think we got the answer right there, yeah.
So you don't think like an Aries is more compatible with like a Taurus?
You know, I feel like people are looking to understand themselves mm-hmm. and other people. Mm-hmm. And I'm all for whatever helps you do that. Why are you dating someone, Dean, who's...
No, I was just curious.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because I have some friends who swear by that stuff. And I'm not a believer in it.
What sign are you?
I don't believe that the approximate location of the stars and planets at the time of your birth have any bearing on who you are as a person.
What sign are you?
I'm an Aries. I know what I am, I guess. And I can identify Aries. With some qualities of an Aries.
Yeah, I only use signs to like huff and puff when I don't like the person. So that's what that's the only time I ever use a sign.
Oh,
like,
what
I
an Aries. Quit being a Taurus. Okay, well, what are you? Do you know?
Oh, what am I?
Yeah.
I am a Pisces.
Okay, Jackson, what are you?
I'm a Capricorn.
Capricorn, December, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know what any of those mean.
I don't know, but all right. All right, well, we're going to call next week.
You got to call me next week, mm-hmm. man.
This is Dr. V for Marriage Bootcamp Reality Stars. You're amazing. Thank you for coming to the office.
Thanks so much for having me. And it was so nice meeting you, Jackson.
Yeah, Dr. V, it was great meeting you too.
Keep him out of trouble.
He
needs it.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
We'll send you pictures of the death scene that
the casket.
Recreate.
There's going to be a lot of
ketchup. I can't
wait.
I will be in
tears.
All right.
Well, thank you again for coming.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll call you later on down the line and give you an update.
All righty. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye, Doc.
So the other day, I was hanging out, and this package showed up at our house, and I was like, oh, I wonder what this is. It said HelloFresh on it. Uh-huh. So you remember I came to you, and I said, Dean, what is this? What'd you tell me?
I told you that I'm going to start cooking meals for you.
I didn't believe you at all.
Because one of the things I think I could be a better roommate is if I just made you guys meals every once in a while.
Yeah, and so the first meal, I was really surprised. It was actually really
good. Super good. What was it? It was chicken and something else.
And rice. Vegetables.
And some vegetables. Super fresh. Super juicy. Nothing like a good piece of juicy chicken, right?
Oh, it was amazing. And the portions were perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was nice also because I felt like it really brought us together mm-hmm. to try something new. And then afterwards, they also sent you a couple other meals.
I've been eating all of them. I'm loving every single one of them. I definitely have a tendency to overeat. Like whenever I go to get Chinese food, I get like 14 helpings. And so what's great about HelloFresh is they ration everything very well. So you're never overeating, but you're still not going hungry.
And it was pretty healthy too. Which
super
nice.
Healthy. And that's definitely something that you and I have discussed quite a bit. Our diet starts tomorrow. But it actually starts today. With HelloFresh.
Yes.
Because it's freaking good. So if you go to HelloFresh.com and use my code UNGLER30, you get $30 off. And each meal is only like $10. So you're going to get $30 off on top of that. You're going to be saving a whole bunch of money.
So worth it.
Eating super well. And you're just going to be all around a happier and healthier person. So go to HelloFresh.com and use UNGLERT30 at checkout. That's UNGLERT30 at checkout. Okay, so joined by one of my closest friends, Jackson. Lived with him for over a year. We met, I think, here in Los Angeles on the flag football team. We won the championship.
It was
just
amazing.
Saying. So I brought him in. It helps because it makes me a little bit more comfortable. He's obviously a very smart person, too, so I always value his insight. Except for when he says something stupid and I don't really listen to it. And so I thought, you know, who better than Jackson, one of my closest friends, to come in and tell me what he's observed in my dating and, you know, maybe what I could be doing better. So Jackson, I mean, do you want to like maybe introduce yourself real quick?
Yeah. Like Dean said, my name's Jackson. I'm really glad you invited me on here today because it's been a wild ride watching you through all of it from knowing you before the show to then seeing you on it and then going on to Paradise and then now being back in the real world.
I think I'm still pretty much the same person though.
And that's what I think has been awesome is you have been very true to yourself and who you are. I think you've had to navigate some really interesting things. You know, we were at an Ed Sheeran concert and we were down on the court and I felt like maybe it was the Beatles and everybody was like, oh, Dean Unglert's here, Dean Unglert's here. And hundreds of girls flocked and surrounded us. And it was crazy, but
that was an interesting experience.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But you know, I felt like you've stayed again pretty true to who you are. Uh-huh. Now, one of the things that's been interesting living with you is you're somebody who I think you try to come across like you aren't as in depth of a person as you actually are.
How's that?
So oftentimes, Dean, you like to laugh about things and you like to smile and get your way out of, you know, having tough conversations. But one of the things that I think a lot of people don't see about you is the nice stuff that you do and the thoughtful stuff that you do, you know, that maybe people don't see. So a good example is, you know, I'll be gone for a work trip and I'll get a text from you that's like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Mm-hmm. And those are the types of things that I think people don't see all the time. And that has stayed consistent from, again, before the show and then even till now. So it's been a fun ride.
It definitely goes both ways, too, because I remember, like, I mean, you do a lot of great friendly things for me as well, and that's great. I mean, I think that's the basis of any strong friendship. But let's talk about dating a little bit, because you have kind of had you watched me date before the show. You watched me obviously date on the show a little bit. So what do you kind of see that I'm doing that you think I could improve upon?
So I think Dr. V hit it right on the head. Mm-hmm. So I experience you as somebody who is not as vulnerable probably as some people or as the people that you're in these relationships with would probably like. Uh-huh. I don't necessarily see you expressing exactly how you feel to people from the outside as a roommate. I mean, those walls are pretty thin. they are pretty thin. I don't hear you saying maybe as I don't hear those in-depth conversations maybe. And I'm right up against the wall.
I've heard some of your in-depth conversations. I guess I could open up a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, is that something that do you feel like that's something you need to work on?
I think that all of us are a little slow and hesitant to open up to people, right?
Yeah.
How quickly into talking to someone or dating someone do you begin telling them your story? Like, you know, I mean, obviously you like tell bits and pieces about yourself, like fragments throughout the whole dating experience, but there are obviously like certain nuggets of information that maybe cause you to feel vulnerable, right? I mean, everyone's got those, right? Yeah. So like how long of the relationship do you begin trusting someone to open up about that kind of stuff?
For me, it takes quite a while, probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 months before I really feel like, okay, I'm going to open up with this person. And with dating and friendship, I think it's a very similar thing. I mean, Dean, I don't think I really knew your full story until us living together for quite some time. And that's something where, I mean, do you feel like you know my full story?
I know we've discussed it quite a bit. Here's my situation, or my feeling on that is I think that I hold those stories with very high value. And so it's like by sharing it. So like if I were to share it so frequently with someone that I'm, you know, just meeting or just talking to, it's almost like devaluing that part of my life a little. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking myself in circles, but it's like the more you share, like you're oversharing it and it's kind of like taking away.
You think it loses value.
Loses value. Stories. Yeah.
Well, is it that you think that it loses value or are you afraid to be vulnerable and get close to those people?
I mean, probably a little bit of both. And I'm not saying like it loses value as a story, but like my personal value of it is like a little bit like it's weird now because going on a TV show, obviously I talked to like everyone that watched about my story and it was something I never really discussed with anyone beforehand. So it was like going from, you know, zero people to however many people kind of being familiar with it. And yeah, I think that it takes someone very special to be able to open up to. Right. And I don't want to, I guess, open up like the deepest parts of my life to someone that I'm not 100% invested in.
Do you feel like you have a fear that if you, you know, maybe you share this story with them mm-hmm. and then that person's going to leave?
I mean,
maybe that isn't part of.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I think there's a little bit of fear to that. I think that it would take a pretty crappy person to leave you when you kind of like pour your heart out to them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But isn't that kind of scary? I mean, I think I sometimes have that fear of, wow, I'm about to be really vulnerable, open up, share this story, uh-huh. and then maybe it's not going to work out. Uh-huh. And then, you know, I've invested this time in this important part of me with this person.
Yeah. There is a certain fear, I think, to, especially within our friend group, I think that there are a lot of very strong, like, familial units, right? And yeah. so, like, opening up to someone about how my family is, like, dysfunctional, it kind of, I could see it being scary for someone else that has a very close family connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my last girlfriend before I went on the show, she's incredibly close with her parents and her brother. They're a big happy family. And I think that people often want to replicate those types of situations. And by being introduced to a situation that maybe isn't the most cohesive, it kind of gives like signs of warning or something like that, right?
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming from a family that has experienced divorce on my side, that is always something that I'm hesitant to share at the beginning because it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is a warning sign that I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Do you kind of feel like you have any of those fears? Maybe not necessarily with the divorce part, but, you know, with that feeling of...
Well, and I think I've mentioned this even actually during the filming of The Bachelorette, is I don't want my current family situation to be a reflection of what I want my family to be moving forward. And so maybe I like kind of sugarcoat things and don't open up because I have this idea of what I want my future to look like. And it doesn't really involve much of my past.
Yeah.
And I guess obviously we're all shaped and molded by the experiences and the things that we go through as children and obviously like as young adults. But I think that we're always trying to like better ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And provide a better future for ourselves. And so I'm thinking ahead instead of trying to look behind.
Yeah, and I think we're both pretty headstrong people in that we feel like, hey, we are going to, you know, dictate how our lives are going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want, you know, again, that the past to have any bearance on what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so while you're, you know, in the podcast app, downloading all your favorite podcasts, including this one, don't forget to go in and check out Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley, one of my close friends. And then there's also Almost Famous with Ben and Ashley I, two of my other favorite people from the entire franchise. They've got some juicy stuff they're talking about every single week. I, for one, am a subscriber. I love listening to them. And it's always fun to hear their take on everything. So one of my favorite things is taking emails from listeners because it's a direct line to hear kind of some of the stories that you're involved with and some of the problems that you're having as well. It's great to know that I'm not alone in my foibles throughout this whole relationship world that we're all trying to navigate through. So Mark, who you guys have met before, is going to read us a couple of the emails we got.
And by the way, it's isuckatdating at iHeartMedia.com.
Yep.
This is from Kita.
Okay.
Dear Dean, so I suck at dating, and I think it might be because I'm too ambitious. I'm 25, I have a master's degree, have had an almost 3-year career, and I'm in my second career pursuit. I play sports and have lots of hobbies and goals, so I have plenty of ambition, but it seems like whenever that ambition starts peeking through, they get really distant. For example, I try to be honest about how busy my schedule is and how much ambition I have, but so many guys get turned off when they expect me to drop everything to hang out with them. And I say my schedule is pretty full, about a week in advance. I always offer a time the following week that would work for me, but so often the guys throw out a line like, well, if it was important, you would make time for it. Mm-hmm. Dean, these are guys I literally just met, throwing me shade for not dropping out of school or work to hang out with them. In my opinion, it was important to them. They'd realize how precious my time is and be sensitive enough to be okay with needing to schedule a little ahead of time. Help. Kita.
Well, I think that if any guy is telling you if it's important enough to you, you should make time for it, you just stop talking to them. Right?
Well, you know, I wonder who these guys are that you're meeting.
Uh-huh.
Ultimately, I think you got to find somebody who matches you on the same level.
Yeah.
And somebody who respects that ambition and somebody who is probably just as busy and so understands what it takes to navigate that.
And secondly, Kita, keep doing you because master's degree, all these sports, you're killing it, girl. Any of these guys should be lucky to be hanging out with you. I think that whenever I try to make plans with someone and they say, let's do it next week at this time, it's kind of a little off-putting because I think that we're in such a, I mean, this is going to get kind of stupid for a second, but we're in a time right now where we get things so quickly. Like, we want something, we get it right away. And so for you to be telling these guys who can pretty much go on and access anything they want at any time, it's like you're basically not allowing them to have what they want as quickly as they want it, which is good. I think that someone should be able to do that. I think that independence is incredibly sexy.
Dean, do you think that she should just drop everything for these guys whenever they say, let's meet this week?
No.
Do you think she should? No?
No. What do you think?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Gita, keep doing you. You'll find the right guy, I promise.
This is from Michelle. Hi, Dean. I suck at dating. I'm the worst. I'm someone who's guarded in her feelings. Mainly whenever I like someone, they have a hard time knowing because I'm actually pretty rude to them. That being said, I also go for the bad for me guys in that they're emotionally unavailable.
Hey.
The guys that are right for me, I have a hard time deciding on. I don't know why I'm the worst. I'm a hopeless romantic. I used to be a Disney princess, so fairy tales are my ish.
Wow.
Love it.
All I want is to casually date a person, get to know them, and see if it can build potentially. Where do I go to meet a man and not a boy?
Huh.
I don't want a ghost. I want someone who communicates but is also driven in life.
Okay.
Thanks, Dean.
Yeah. Well, so I think that Jackson has taken a pretty cool approach. He's been doing a lot of interesting things. Last week, he went to... Last week, Jackson went to... It was like a taco cooking class or something. And you weren't going specifically to look to like find a woman, but it was a very heavily female dominated. I think you made some friends there, right? Like, it's cool to be able to like go to things like that.
Yeah. So I definitely was in not necessarily looking for anything or anybody, but I wanted a new experience here in LA. And so I went to this cooking class and it was all about trying new foods. And there were people there who were also in this same mindset of, I want to try new things. Mm-hmm. And that led to finding cool people who are ambitious and who are maybe not necessarily just looking to go out to the bars all the time and drink. So maybe that more mature area. You got to look someplace new, maybe.
Yeah, look someplace new. I think that going to the bars with your friends is great. I think that if you're looking for guys at bars, that's probably not the best spot to be looking for them. Because you're going to find those types of guys that are going out every Friday, Saturday night, getting drunk and just being obnoxious. And that's probably why.
And that might be where the bad for me guys are.
Bad for me guys. The emotionally unavailable ones because they're probably young and just want to party.
Yeah.
Which is nothing wrong with that. It's just you got to maybe just change maybe where you're looking for them.
Yeah.
That's my take on it.
This one's kind of deep.
Oh, boy.
But, Dean, I think there are parts of this you can probably relate to. Hey, Dean, this is Sarah. I'm a big fan of yours from The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise, although it was painful to watch you put yourself in that situation. I don't think anyone should judge you because that isn't a normal dating scene. My problem with dating is that I have no problem getting a guy interested, but I struggle opening up to guys and therefore reach a point in the relationship where I self-sabotage.
Nice.
I find something about the person I don't like. I make them not like me, or I put pressure on it too fast. I know I sabotage relationships and I have trouble opening up, but I still can't fix it. My mom also passed away when I was 11, and I have a fear of losing someone again. My dad has been the worst male role model and never put me first, and I'm terrified of being with a man anything like him. Hopefully, you have some great advice for me, and you have better luck in your dating experiences as well, Sarah.
You know, it's weird because this email that Sarah just sent in, Dina, actually really sounds kind of a lot like your experience.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll get into a little bit background story of the filming of The Bachelorette, because, again, it all comes back down to this, I think. That very first one-on-one date that I had with Rachel, when I opened up about losing my mother, it was difficult, but there was an ITM, an in-the-moment interview that we were filming before the dinner portion of the date, I think. And I broke down and like I cried a lot before the dinner in the interview. And I think what the producer made me realize, he was like, he was saying, you're scared to get attached to someone because you don't want to lose someone that you care about again. And he made me think about, or he put it in perspective. He said, if you could go back and change any of the memories that you have with the person that you loved, my mother, would you go back and get rid of those memories? And the answer obviously is no, because you love her. I loved her. And all of the good times, as bad as it was dealing with the loss of her, the good memories that I had were still overshadowing and outshining the ultimate loss of her, right? So I guess that could be reflected into relationships of if you can love someone wholeheartedly with the risk of losing them, and but the fact is you're going to create good memories from it, right? And be in love and find someone.
Yeah. You know, Dean, it was kind of interesting. We were up at the filming for your hometown, mm-hmm. and I remember meeting you at the bar before you went to your parents, mm-hmm. to your dad's, mm-hmm. and I remember you being pretty visibly nervous about what that experience was going to be like, because you, from the outside, it looked like you were nervous that Rachel was going to see that, mm-hmm. and automatically say,
judge.
Yeah. Say, oh, I don't want to be with Dean because of what his family is like.
Uh-huh. And here's the thing. I would never say that my father is a poor role model, right? Like, he's mm-hmm. my father. I love him. We have disagreements. We don't necessarily get along, but he's still my father, right? And I'm proud of the person that I am. I'm obviously still learning a lot, but I have him to thank for a lot of who I am, right? So even though your father is maybe a not the best role model, you still have to appreciate the person that you are now. And it's kind of like the Ferber method, right? Like love by separation. I don't know exactly how to say it, but like, and my father actually tried to make this point to me too. He's like, you should be grateful about the lack of love I showed you as a child, because it shaped you into the person that you are now. And it sucked. I got really upset when he told me that. I was like, are you kidding me? You just mm-hmm. told me that. But like in hindsight, like it's kind of true. I remember saying, I always wanted to form myself into the opposite person that he is, right? So it's kind of like, I don't know, addition by subtraction.
Well, it's about how we see these challenges and see these negative things that happen, and can you spin it into a positive? Mm-hmm. Can you learn from mm-hmm. it? And
yeah,
then
exactly.
Can you, you know, take maybe the negative qualities, can Sarah take the negative qualities about, you know, the people in her life and maybe turn it into, okay, I want to look for these positive
right.
qualities now.
Right.
Yeah.
So to Sarah's point, the self-sabotage, the unwillingness to open up. I mean, it's hard for me to try and give advice on that because I'm still struggling with it so mightily.
Still working through it, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I can say what I think I should be doing, and it could maybe, like, reflect onto you, Sarah. But, again, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing, so.
Well, how are you gonna try and get better at that, Dean?
I think that I've started to open up to people a lot more.
Yeah.
Specifically in dating. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting now, opening up is a little bit different because people are more aware of my story, and I don't really have to, I guess, talk about as much as I would otherwise to fill in the blanks.
Do you still talk about it?
I mean, yeah, every once in a while. Like, I'll, like, share stories from my childhood when I normally would never do that. Like, I'm opening up bits and pieces to my past that I normally wouldn't otherwise. So to, I guess, Sarah's point, and maybe to help her out, just, like, slowly chip away at it. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's a work in progress.
Maybe start with something small to share and then kind of go from there.
Yeah. And it's funny too. I think we discussed it last week a little bit, that one of my reluctancies to open up is because I just don't want to bore people. And sharing like little stories of when you were 10 years old, I mean, it's just kind of boring sometimes. But I think that when you're sharing it with someone that you like, if it's your girlfriend or if it's a friend, all it does is strengthen the bond between the two of you guys, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, that'll just about do it for episode 4 of Help, I Suck at Dating. I want to give one more big thank you to my roommate Jackson for being here.
Hey, it was my pleasure, buddy.
Dr. V, who is no longer in studio, but she was great. So next week's topic is, do you suck at dating if you only text the other person?
Oh, boy.
What do you think, Jack?
I am a big advocate of calling. I love calling people.
It's definitely becoming like a lost art form.
Yeah.
So I like texting. I'm a big texter, but I have been getting much better with. And whenever my phone rings, I'm always like, I don't want to answer this.
But aren't you kind of excited, though, when, like, you see a girl calling you, not just a text?
Yeah, I think, like, if it's, like, a late at night and you just want to have a conversation, like, I appreciate it. I've been FaceTiming a lot lately.
Okay.
So I'm getting better at the whole conversation over the phone. And I personally think that you do kind of suck at dating if you only text, right?
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot easier to say things in a text, I think, than it is over the phone when they can hear your voice and they can.
Well, you do have a great voice, though, so that's part of why you want to.
Maybe that's why I call people all the time. Yeah.
All right, so next week we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Do you suck at dating if you only want to text the other person? Email your thoughts to isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com about this topic. That's isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Do you suck at dating if you only want to text the other person? Again, that'll do it for episode 4 of Help, I Suck at Dating. I'm Dean Ungler, and maybe next week I'll suck a little bit less.